I hope you have your place. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. We'll read verses 1 and 2, and then we'll go to chapter 6 for a couple of verses. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, the stewardship of life. We are in a stewardship emphasis throughout this month, and we want to talk about all of life. Last week we dealt with tithing and giving, at least a part of the giving process. Today he says in verse 1, let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards, and that's who we are if we're saved. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Now you understand that that's not talking just about men, but it's that generic term. Mankind, all believers, should be found faithful as stewards in the work of God. Now look at chapter 6, if you will, and drop down in that chapter division to verse 19. Verse 19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? Obviously, that's written to save people. Amen. You're saved. The Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, they are one and the same, lives in you. So he says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God? Jesus, when he went away, said, I'm going to send somebody in my place. He will be the Paracletos, the Comforter, the one who will be closer than anybody by your side, the one who would indwell you, which is in you, which you have of God. And watch this phrase here. It's such an important phrase. And ye are not your own. And ye are not your own. And it's a question mark. What? Don't you know that your body is a temple of God and the Holy Spirit lives in your body? You're bought with a price. You're not your own. You're bought with a price, verse 20. Therefore, because that's true, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which, your body and spirit, which are God's. That's good stewardship, and those are biblical truths that we need to be reminded of today. About four principles of Christian stewardship that's good for us to remember. Number one, and it's so basic, but so many people miss it, and that is this: God owns everything. Is that right or wrong? That's true, isn't it? God owns it all. You say, no, I own my house. No, you own it for a little while. You're a steward of it for a little while. Basically, God owns it all. He owns the mountains and the rivers and the valleys. He owns everything on the face of this earth. You're just getting to use a little bit of it. Some of his dirt and some of his blessings and some of his sunshine. Beautiful day out today. God owns all of that. He owns the sun and the moon and the stars. And we just cannot imagine what all he does own. But everything on this planet earth is God's, including you and me. God owns everything. And secondly, all Christians have a stewardship responsibility. Every born-again believer has a stewardship responsibility. In other words, how are we going to use what God allows us to use? It's His. How are we going to use it? We have a responsibility, a stewardship responsibility. One of these days, Christ is going to come again. Amen. First, we're going to go up. Those that are believers, the dead in Christ shall rise first. We'll be translated, go up and be with the Lord. We'll meet the Lord in the air. And we'll have the marriage supper of the Lamb. We'll have the judgment seat of Jesus Christ. Not to determine whether we are saved or not, but only for the saved. And we'll give an account of our stewardship. That's one of the things we're going to do. If we're good stewards, it'll be a pleasant experience. If we hadn't been, we will lose some rewards, and that will be tried, though, as by fire, so on and so forth. A third principle is personal responsibility for our stewardship. We have that to administer that for His glory, not for our glory. Too much that is done for personal glory. The stewardship God gives us should be done for His glory. It should all be used for His glory. And we have a personal responsibility to administer what He has given us for His glory. And we will, as believers, give an account thoroughly, completely. It'll be impeccable. There'll be no errors in it. God keeps perfect records. He'll keep better records than the professors do of your grades. He'll keep better records than anybody else that could keep of you. God is keeping the exact records meticulously in heaven concerning my stewardship and your stewardship. How does God do that? I don't know, and I don't really care. I just know He does. God is going to keep the records. And we can count on the fact that we will all give an account for that. Now, in part of our text, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, he's talking about that stewardship and giving proper perspective for the stewardship of life in that. And it's just absolutely loaded with what God is reminding us of in relationship to that stewardship. One of the things he points out to us is that life that we have is a gift from God. You wouldn't live, nor would I, another 5 minutes if God didn't allow you to do that. At any moment, God could snuff out your life. He has the power, He has the right to do that. We shouldn't brag too much about the future because we don't know what the future holds. But we know that life is a precious gift from God. And God has at least a twofold claim on our life, really on everybody's in that sense. Deuteronomy tells us in chapter 32, verse 6, this is a reminder from God about who He is and who we are. Hath He not made thee? That's a good question. Who made you? You say, well, my mother and dad in cohabiting made me. No, they were the instruments, but God made you. You were created by God in your mother's womb. You are not an accident. You may not like your nose or the color of your eyes or the size of your ears or the color of your hair or whatever, but just remember when you start complaining, God made you. Now, we do have some choices to make about some things. You know, we can improve or disprove, or we can gain or lose or whatever, but we won't get into all of that. But I can just tell you, God made you. And therefore, God owns you. So we have a claim by creation. God has a claim on us by creation. God made you, and He claimed you by creation. And then the rest of that verse says, and He established thee. He made you, and then He began to establish you or provide for you. So He has a claim by creation, and then He has a claim because He sustains us. God takes care of us. God provides for us. It's all God's. After we get through preaching, we're going to go eat. I'm going to eat. You're going to eat. Somewhere around 1 o'clock when I get through preaching, we'll go to the restaurant. And we'll all be very hungry and we'll eat. But when you eat lunch today, whatever time you eat lunch, just remember God gives you that. God sustains us and provides everything we have. Everything I have today, God has given me. He has established thee. He hath made thee. I belong to God. So He has a claim on me by creation. God claims that. But then He says, you're bought with a price. Know you not that your body is a temple of Christ, of the Holy Ghost rather, which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own. Ye are bought, purchased with a price. So by creation, in sustaining us, He has a right over us. But the wonderful thing is, if you've been saved, and I say if you have been saved, God has a third claim on you, and He paid for you with the precious blood of His Son. That was the price. People say, well, salvation is so cheap. And so, no, it never has been cheap. There's been a high price paid for it. Jesus paid it all. all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. How did he do it? Through his shed blood on Calvary. Jesus died for me, and he bought me and paid for me. And when I accepted him as my Savior, he had that third claim on me as a born-again child. I'm a child of God's. I belong to him today. He paid the price. May I just take this moment, this time, to remind you, friend, that that's the only way you're going to get to heaven if you get there. I don't know what your background is. We have folks today that are here that I've never met before. I hope to get to meet. I don't know your background. Only God knows you and your heart and where you are with God. But let me tell you this. I don't care what you've done, what denomination, what religion, what you've practiced, how good you've tried to be, or any of the other things. If you've never come by the blood, you're not saved. You've got to get on the blood. It was the shed blood that God required. And he paid for my sins. I don't deserve it any more than anybody else. I was a sinner. Christ died for me. He paid the price that God the Father demanded. God the Father is righteous. He demanded righteous payment. He demanded perfection. And I had to throw up my hands and say, God, there is no way I can give you that. And God says, don't worry about it. I have made provision for you through my Son, through his shed blood on the cross. He died and paid the debt. Salvation is not due, my friend. Salvation is done because of the Lord Jesus Christ. But he purchased you and he purchased me. Thank God. If you're saved, he owns you because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Now, the only logical thing when you consider all of that, God owns everything. God owns you. God created you. God sustained you. And if you're saved, you belong to God because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Then the only logical thing, and that's what the word therefore is in verse 24 in our latter text, for you're bought with a price, all of this previous, these previous things being true, therefore, summing it up, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Your body and your spirit belong to God. Life is a gift from God. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit. Now, this, friend, is the essence of stewardship. I know who I am. I know whose I am. I know he died for me. I know I belong to him. Therefore, I want to glorify him. I want to serve him. I want to please him. I want to do everything I can to have him to be pleased with me in my life, in all that I do as I live on God's green earth and draw his air. This is the essence of stewardship. That simply means we ought to conduct our lives in a way that glorifies God. That's why we're here. Once we get saved, the whole purpose, conduct our lives to glorify God, to please him in every way that we can. And if, and that's a big if we respond to biblical stewardship and understand it, then we're going to live a sacrificial, holy life to God. A sacrificial life and a holy life to God. Both are required in the matter of stewardship. In Romans chapter 12, verse 1, he says that we're to present our bodies a living sacrifice. There it is. That's stewardship. When did you present your body a living sacrifice to God? Well, I think there's a sense in which we do it every day. We should do it every day in our mind. But I believe there should come a crisis time in our lives where we say, God, not only am I saved, but I am surrendered to you, God. I've come to that crisis time. You are the Lord of my life, and you have every right to control my life in every way. And I'm going to live for you. Amen. To live a sacrificial life. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Should be a holy life. That's what he's talking about. So we ought to live a sacrificial life. God owns everything. God owns me. I belong to him. He owns all that I have. He saved me by his grace. He's made me his child. I'm looking forward to going to heaven. He's redeemed me. He's keeping me out of eternal damnation and forever suffering in hell. I could not give any more than my very best to God by the grace of Almighty God. And then I think we'll live a crucified life if we understand stewardship. Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. You know what that means? I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. That just simply means I'm dead to self. And I let Christ control my life, and He lives through my life. And if He does that, we're going to practice good stewardship. I am crucified with Christ. I died to have my way. I died. And I reckon, as Romans tells us, the old man to be dead. He died on the cross with Christ and was buried, and I rose to a new life in Christ. We're to know it, we're to reckon it, and we're to practice it and yield ourselves to the Lord. That's in every area of our life. We will live a crucified life. I think if we understand stewardship, we'll also live a separated life. You don't hear a lot about that in our churches anymore, but I still believe the Bible teaches that as Christians, if we understand what we owe God and our stewardship, then we're going to live a separated life. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 17. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separated, saith the Lord. I believe Christians ought to be different, don't you? We ought to talk differently. We should dress differently. You daddies, let me meddle just a little bit with you. You have the responsibility in that home to be sure your daughter dresses right. And I'd like to ask some of these fundamental independent Baptist daddies, why in the world do you let your daughters dress like she's a streetwalker sometimes? It shouldn't be. I mean, you say, but it's the style, and I can only find it in this section, and that's all they're selling. Well, find somebody who knows how to sew. Have them add a little bit on the bottom and maybe a little more on the top. I'm just saying, we ought to be different. We're different. You reflect Christ. The Holy Spirit is living in you. And I believe that means we ought to do our best with what we have and do our best to reflect the Lord Jesus Christ. And we should live a separated life. Be careful where you go. Be careful who you run around with. Be careful what you drink. You say, oh, don't you know the vitamins in that alcoholic beverage is what the doctor prescribed and it's best for me? Did he tell you that it might hurt your testimony? There's plenty of medicine out there. You don't have to do that. And I don't want to belabor that whole thing, but I still think that we, as God's people, constantly need to be reminded that He owns us and He owns our body. And this is the temple of Christ, and we should dress it up and bathe it and take care of it and treat it right so that we reflect the glory of God and we are to live separated lives. There are a lot of things that God says we should not do, not because it's so absolutely wrong in the essence of it, but because it hurts the cause of Christ. And the principle is the principle of expediency. If eating meat hurts others and offends and causes a distraction to the gospel or those who are weak in the faith, the best thing for me to do is not eat that meat that was offered to idols. That's the rule of expediency. We shouldn't be asking, what can I get away with? But we should be asking, God, what can I do that will honor you the most? What can I do that will honor you the most? And that means we understand stewardship. I believe it also means we will live a life that witnesses for the glory of God. We won't be, there is a lifestyle witness and there's a verbal witness. Two things. A lifestyle witness and a verbal witness. You see, we need, if we understand that we are God's stewards, we know we need to witness for God. God has commissioned us to witness for Him. Amen? Isn't that what it says in Matthew 28, 18 through 20? And some of the other gospel accounts, God has called us to witness for Him. How do we do that? One way we do it is by the way we live. By the way we live. If you're a mean-spirited, jealous, envious, cantankerous, hot-headed, gossipy, whatever else you want to add in there, type person that does not live by the fruit of the Spirit controlling your life, you're not going to be a very good witness. You're always living in a depressed and self-pity party and all of those things. You don't have the joy of the Lord. I'm just mentioning a few things. Friend, your testimony is not going to be very strong. You're not reflecting that you belong to God and God's in charge of your whole life, and that all things work together for good to those who love the Lord, to those who are called according to His purposes. When we get that right, we get the stewardship right, then we're going to live the kind of life, and people will look at us and say, you know, I'd like to be like her. I'd like to be like him. They're happy in the Lord, and they have blessings of God on their life. They have purpose in life. They know who they are. They know where they're going. They know why they're here. They know what life's all about. I'd like to have that. I'm very, very attracted to Christ because of their life. That's the lifestyle. But then there's the verbal witness. And that's where we get quiet. We need to understand God owns us. That includes our tongue. And we need to use our life to witness, not only in our lifestyle, but word for word, verbally, telling others on purpose at times, given those opportunities, looking for those opportunities to not be ashamed of the gospel, to not be bashful or backward. You say, you just don't know my temperament. I'm so bashful. Well, friend, there's still a way that you can tell people about Jesus Christ and what He's done for you. And you've got to put your trust not in yourself, but you've got to put your trust in what He can do with you. And He can use anybody to witness for the glory of God. Tell others about Christ. Look for opportunities. Let's be honest, folks. Most of us do not do as good a job of that as we should. And somehow, when the preacher preaches on it, we throw it to somebody else, or throw it over our shoulder, throw it back, or say, well, that's for the preacher and the staff. No, friend, it's for every born-again believer. If you understand that God owns you and that you're His and Jesus paid the debt, then you'll not be ashamed of the gospel, for it and it alone is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, the Jew first and to the Gentile. We'll live a life of witnessing, and I believe we'll give to the Lord's work. We will tithe and give to God's work if we understand that He owns it all. We had in our Sunday school lesson today about the talents of five, the two, and the one. And so many are like the one. We just take what God has given us and bury it. Not only money, but our talent. And that's a whole different message. But we need to use the tithe and the giving for the Lord. He owns everything. What kind of insanity, what kind of unreasonableness, what kind of non-thinking would say, I just cannot afford to give back to the one who owns me and owns everything I have, including every dime that I get, whether it's small or whether it's great or whether it's in between. I believe if we understand stewardship, we will have no problem having faith to start with a tithe, the foundation place, and move up and build on that. Some of you are thinking about it. Some of you are considering it, and so on and so forth. Listen, just dive in and do it, and you'll someday come and thank me that I had the courage to tell you the truth about giving, because it's going to be a blessing to you. You can't outgive God. You belong to God. Everything you have belongs to God. How foolish it is to hold everything back. You say, you just don't know my bills. You don't know my obligations. You don't know this. You don't know that. I don't. But I can tell you this. I know the Word of God. And I know that you must put Him first. And those who put Him first, He's going to bless. We'll use our tithe right. We'll use our talent right. We'll get busy serving God. We need to do it. When we put God first, our money will last. And when we put God first in our talent, then God's going to bless. What kind of talent do you have? What kind of abilities do you have? Are you using those for the glory of God? And I hear people say this a lot of times. I used to. Why did you used to? Why don't you get back to doing it again? Amen. Now please understand that I know sometimes they're providential things. Sometimes it's a matter of health, and you have to change the kind of ministry and the way, perhaps. But a lot of folks, that isn't it at all. It's just an unwillingness. There are people who could be teaching or helping in a Sunday school class who don't do it, not because they don't have the ability, but it's because they have not properly understood stewardship, and they don't remember that God owns everything and that God gave them that ability, and they need to take that ability and the health that God has given them and use it for His glory. Be an assistant. Keep a role. Take a class. Sing in the choir. Take a bus. Be a captain. Work in the sound and audio. Be an usher. Work in the back with the babies. That's a real challenge. You heard about the preacher that asked his people to go work in the nursery. This one woman had worked in there for a while, and she said, "No, I've paid my dues, and I'm not going to do it anymore." And the pastor, other folks knew about it, and just about 2 or 3 months later, she was expecting with child. Guess what? The pastor had about 10 or 15 ladies that decided they'd volunteer to work in the nursery right after that. So ladies, I'm just simply saying that we need to use our gifts for the glory of God, our talent, our tithe, and our time for His glory. You say, "Well, I just don't have enough time to serve God. I just don't have enough time." Friend, you need to go back and reprioritize your time and find out what's really important in the eternal side and what's important in the temporal side, and you'll change your time habits. And you'll have time for God. You will have time. You'll have time to come back to church on Sunday night. Amen. Three, to thrive. You'll find time, unless you're doing shift work or something like that and you can't get off on Wednesday night. You'll have the time. You'll find the time. You'll make the time to come and worship the Lord, because you understand He owns me. He's God. He owns everything. He saved me. I'm His. I couldn't breathe without Him. I couldn't eat a meal without Him. I wouldn't have the car I have, or the clothes, or the place, the protection, if it were not for God. You say, "Well, I'm self-made. I did it without God." No, you didn't. God allowed you to do it. And the sooner you understand that, the happier you're going to be. We need to be good stewards. Amen. And I remind you that we will give an account to God. That doesn't have to be morbid. That can be good. That can be sweet. That can be bold. That can be very positive, if we are good stewards. But let me tell you, the first thing you got to do, friend, is get saved. The first thing is to be born again. God owns you, that's true. And that's why if you don't get saved, you'll have to face the consequences of eternal separation from God. You don't want to do that. You don't want to do that. You don't want to die lost. You don't know when you're going to die. You need to be saved, come to Christ. And then after you come to Christ, grow in the Lord and get that stewardship settled. Understand that He owns you by creation. He owns you by sustaining you. And God owns you by saving your soul. I'm so glad I can tell anybody here today that the price for your redemption has been paid for by Jesus Christ. And all you have to do is believe it, understand you're a sinner, come to Him, trust Him as your Savior, call upon the Lord. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Not maybe so, or hope I'm saved, shall then and there be saved and born again. Let's stand, please. Are you saved today? If not, come and be saved. And then, Christian, I simply ask you, do you have this matter of stewardship right in your heart and in your mind? Whatever you have to do to make that right today, do it. It may involve your tithe and giving. your money. It may involve your talent, your time, certainly. But determine, God, I understand that you own it all. You own everything, every last bit of it. And the stewardship of life that I have, the life you've given me, is a stewardship that I will give an account for to you. Father, bless the invitation. Stir up our hearts, O God, by the word of God, that we would be faithful and good stewards, that we would not hide our talent, that we would not misuse our time on temporal things, that we would use our time and talent in our giving, our finances, our resources to glorify you. Help us to understand stewardship, that it's more than just money. It's our whole life, our whole person, and that you own all of us. Help us to understand it involves the way we live. In Jesus' name I pray.